Well, good morning. It's so good to see you. I'm glad that you are here. We are in the book of Exodus today, chapter 20. We have been looking at the Ten Commandments. These are really important for us still today. They still are things that we struggle with. There are still aspects of the Ten Commandments that need us to pay attention to and need for us to obey. And so we've looked at several of them so far. The first four of them deal with a vertical relationship of how we and God relate, and God gave us some commands on how we should commune with Him and how we should respond to Him. And if you missed any of those, feel free to check them out on our website. We've got the sermons up. You can hear past sermons. And the other six, though, that we've started, we on number eight today. The last six of them deal with a horizontal relationship. So how do we deal with one another? And so it's talking about our relationships with other humans. And we've dealt with several of those today. We are on the eighth command of the list, and it is, I think, very important for us today in our society as well as all the other ones are. Perhaps, however, nothing goes against the spirit of Christianity as strong as the selfish act of stealing. And Jesus says, "Don't steal," or God says, "Do not steal." And so, how do we look at that in a positive light? How do we deal with that? Because we're talking about positive obedience. We want us to see what is the best thing for us to do instead of stealing. So God commands us not to steal what does not belong to us, but rather we should have a spirit of giving rather than taking. And so today, by the end of our time together, our goal is for us to be selfless. And then we are some selfish people. We think things are owed to us. We look at ourselves and we want everything to take care of us. But God says, don't steal. If it doesn't belong to you, don't take it. And so that's what we're going to look at today. And so the verse that tells us that is Exodus chapter 20. Verse 15, very simple, three easy words: do not steal. Don't steal. We don't want you to take anything that doesn't belong to you. And so the first thing we see about this is that, one, there is selfishness in theft. There is selfishness in stealing. There is selfishness in when we take something that belongs to you. And theft and stealing is a major issue in our culture. Too many people think that they deserve something that doesn't belong to them, so they take it. Nobody will miss it. Nobody will notice it. I want it, and so we take it. So I looked at some statistics or some things that are often stolen in our society and in our time. And I came across one that said that $3 billion a year is stolen from Walmart. Just Walmart, $3 billion of goods is stolen from Walmart each year. That's a lot of stuff. Here's another one that really blew my mind, and I want you to think about this one. What do you think is the food item that is stolen most? What food item is stolen from stores most? Not just Walmart, but all grocery stores. What do you think that is? It's cheese. Cheese. Who's stealing cheese? Apparently lots of people, because it is the number one item that is stolen from grocery stores. And several sites said this. And I'm like, man, what is our problem with cheese? Why do we want it to steal it so bad? And so that was kind of odd to me. Many of us take things from the office. Maybe you've stolen some pens or some paper, or you've stolen some other goods. Maybe you don't work in an office. I know some people who work like out in the field and work for companies that have tools, and so tools tend to disappear, and so things get stolen that way, and it just ends up in someone's bag or in someone's toolbox, and it walks away. We steal things from work. Some people just plain steal money. They would just take the money. Some other things that we steal is that we steal time from work. I saw a post the other day. It was quite funny. It was one of those memes on Facebook that says, "I wonder what people who work for Facebook do to waste time at work." You get it? Because most of us are on Facebook at work. And so what do people who work at Facebook do? And so we steal time because we are not productive. We're not doing what we are supposed to be doing. And so we would rather be texting or on the phone or looking at news or doing something like that. So we steal from work. We steal money. Some people will go and steal internet from their neighbor or maybe cable. Cable gets stolen a lot. Sometimes you will call in sick when you are not sick at all. You just want a day off, and you think you deserve a day off, and you don't want to take time off, but you have some sick days, so you take your sick days. this one kind of hurts. How many of you have not been exactly honest on your taxes? Now, I believe we should pay the government as little as possible, but we should do it properly. You know what I'm saying? We don't lie on our taxes and steal from the government. So take all the deductions you can. Just do it right. Don't lie. All right? what are some other ways that we steal? I think, sadly, sometimes we steal people's reputations when we gossip about them. And we talk about them and say, "Hey, have you heard what so-and-so did?" And we steal their reputations. We don't even know if it's true. It's just a rumor out there, and we gossip, and we pass that along. And we want to tell people all the latest news. Last week, we talked about the idea or the issue of adultery, and some people steal other people's spouses through adultery. How often have you seen on TV after a major disaster the looting and the stealing from stores where there's no need to loot or steal from stores? Remember when Katrina hit in New Orleans and the amount of people carrying out 60-something inch TVs into a city that had no electricity? Like, really? How is that going to take care of your needs? And we loot and people steal from stores. They will break into stores and destroy things just to steal. And here's the sad thing. Seldom do we steal for self-preservation. What I mean by that is seldom do we steal for something that we really need, like lunch or supper. Seldom do we steal things that will help us to survive. It is always something we think is owed to us or something that we want, and it's not something that will get us to the next day. It's so bad that we even have a disorder for people who steal compulsively. We call them kleptomaniacs. And it doesn't matter what level of economics you're in. Poor people steal and rich people steal. There have been news reports and stories about people who are famous, who live in Hollywood, who have way more money than we could dream of, but they steal just to see if they can get away with it. Someone stole $800 worth of clothes one time, and they had $1,400 in their wallet with them. They just stole to see if they could do it. And God says, don't steal. Don't be still. In order for us to steal, we've got to first be selfish, and we've got to say, I want this. I deserve this. And notice that the eighth command is very broad. Do not steal. He doesn't say do not steal certain things. He doesn't say just don't steal goods from the market. Don't steal time from work. Don't steal pens and pencils. Don't steal this or don't steal that. He says don't steal. It's very broad. And I think it's that way on purpose, because if we can start narrowing it down, we will say, well, I didn't steal that, and so I'm going to go and take this. And the spirit of the command is for us not to take anything at all that doesn't belong to us. And so it begins with selfishness. We're not to steal for any reason. And God commands us not to steal because stealing is selfish. It's what we want. It's all about us. And the one with the close-fisted attitude will never have the best and highest that God gives. And what I mean by that is this. As stewards of God's goodness, if you are a Christian, if you are a son or daughter of God, you are given blessings. And if we have our hands open to receive them, then we're able to receive them, but we're also able to give them away. But if oftentimes we grab a hold to things and we hold them tight and we say, God, I'm going to keep this. And I'm not able to receive from God. I'm not able to give away because I'm so clenched to what I've got because I want it. It takes care of me, and it reinforces our selfishness. And when we are close-fisted, when we have our hands close to the goodness of God and to the graciousness of God, we miss out on what's best that He has to offer us. We miss out on the best things of life. And so rather than being selfish and taking things, rather being selfish and stealing what does not belong to us, Christians are to be selfless. We're to be selfless. Early on, I started that. Then maybe the most antithetical thing to Christianity is stealing, because God is a God who gives. And we need to be people who are selfless and who give. The essence of faith, the essence of Christianity, the essence of the gospel is giving it away. It's sharing it. It is something that we are called to do. God shared His love for us by giving us His Son. God blesses us and gives us things that we don't even fathom, and we don't even stop to recognize that God has blessed us and given to us, and that we are to be givers as well. At the very heart of the gospel is the need to give away. So instead of taking, we're to give. Instead of stealing and being selfish, we're to give and be selfless. One of the verses that we probably all know, whether you grew up in church or not, it's one of the first verses that anybody learns, is John 3:16. In John 3:16, depending on the version you memorize, says something like this: for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him will not perish but have everlasting life. If you believe in Jesus, you get to have everlasting life. If you believe in Jesus, you get salvation. But notice the reason you get to believe in Jesus, notice the reason that you get to have everlasting life, is because God first gave. For God so loved the world that He gave His Son. And what should make us who we are as Christians, what should characterize us, is not our taking, but our giving. So what do you give away? What do you give away. The real solution to a life of stealing is a heart of love that more naturally desires to share than to take. It's a heart issue. God says don't steal because he knows our heart is corrupt. He knows we're selfish. And the only way for us to be selfless is to have a new heart. And God says, come to me. Follow me. And I will change your heart. I will change your desires. I will give you the desires of your heart, and I will change your desires so they match my desires. And this idea of stealing and with taking what does not belong to us will totally shift to be people who give. The heart of the gospel is giving away. The heart of the gospel is giving Jesus to others. The gospel says that Jesus came, that he died. He lived a perfect life before dying. He was buried. He rose again. And he's coming back. And we are to give this good news to others. We are to give the good news that if we believe in him, if we confess him with our mouth, and if we follow him, he will make us his children. A really cool thing happened this week that in one of our church members' lives, or our church family lives, I didn't ask them, but I'll share the story anyway. They've not hid it. Kenny and Sherry have finalized an adoption of the two twin boys that they've been having, taking care of, and bringing to church with them. So you've probably seen them. They're about this tall. They're identical twins, so they look a lot alike. And that's a joke. And so nobody laughs at my stuff. We talked about that this week in class. My point is this. They adopted them Monday, finalized. They are now Manuels. And that's cool. I think Kenny and them are doing children's church. But the point is this. They are now Manuels, and we are excited with them, and we're excited for them. But that is a picture, beautiful picture of what God does for us. That God gives us salvation. He adopts us into his family. And it changes our life forever. And in one of the areas it should change our life is in the area of giving. Instead of being selfish and taking, we need to be selfish and give away. Scripture talks a lot about being stewards. And none of us really have stewards at our houses anymore. But a steward is someone who didn't own the place. Steward was really a slave. And a steward was the person who was in charge of the house. The person who made sure that everybody did things that needed to be done according to the household, the holder or the house owner, the boss. And so stewards were managers. They were people who made sure that things got done. If a debt was owed, they made sure it got paid. If there was a bill that needed to be taken care of, they did that. If there were other servants in the house that needed to take care of things, they ensured that things were doing. And oftentimes in the Greco-Roman world, a wealthy person would have a steward who basically ran their business. And the steward was a slave. And God calls you and I the same term, that we are stewards. We are enslaved to him. We are his servants. And when he gives us something, we are to steward it properly. It means that we are to take care of in the way that we should, and we are to give in the way that he wants us to. And oftentimes, like I said earlier, we want to grab a hold to that. We hold it tight. We hold it close because we're scared we're going to lose some. Instead of opening our hands and giving away. Will you have the heart of a steward? Someone who takes care of the master's things? Someone who takes care of the owner's things, like in the old days of the first century when the servant took care of the master's things. Will you, the servant of God, take care of his things and allow things to come through your home, to come through your hands, and to bless other people with and give away instead of stealing what doesn't belong to you in the first place? Will you be known as a giver instead of someone who takes? And I know we think about it and we rationalize it, and as we come to a close today, we see that people will say, but I deserve it, and it's coming to me, and it's something that I should be getting anyway, and the company didn't give me a bonus, and they owe me this money. I worked hard, and so we think, we rationalize, and we say, well, it belongs to me anyway, and we take it, and we steal it. And God has said, don't steal, but give. Don't be someone who takes things, but be someone who gives things. So there's no justification for us to steal, but there's every justification for us to give. If you want to be like God, if you want to be known as God's son and God's daughter, be someone who gives and doesn't take. It's a simple command, it's a simple message, but it's very difficult to live out because we've got to deny ourselves. We've got to deny what we want. We've got to deny our selfish desires. And we've got to walk away from what we think is owed to us, and we give away. Does that describe you? Does that describe your life? I know there are some people who that really does. But honestly, for the mass majority of us, the vast majority of us, we struggle with being selfless. We struggle because we want. There's no amount of money that will make you happy. I know playing the lottery right now is very tempting. It's worth over $1 billion. That's ridiculous. And people are lining up to give their money away in hopes that they will win so that they'll be happy. But money will never make you happy. It'll never buy you happiness. Only God will. Only God can bring that peace. Only God can bring you what you need. And he gave his only son. Have you accepted him today? If not, I'd love to talk to you about that. And so as we stand and close, you can respond in a couple of different ways. One way you can respond is by saying, I'm a thief. I need repentance. I need to stop being selfish, and I need to give away. Some of you need to give some stuff away. And free yourself from the burden of being selfish. Maybe there's someone here today who needs to find Jesus. He's waiting. Will you come to him? Will you stand and respond to God?